come by hearing. And it's not everybody that has a hearing ear. I want to teach something, but it requires serious attention, no distraction. Something that will help your spiritual life. Make you understand the gospel of salvation and help you walk with God acceptably. Want to pray? Lord, grant me understanding of your word. Open your mouth and pray. Today. What you have laid in the heart of the pastor this morning, grant me understanding. Let me not be distracted in any way, Lord. May the Lord grant us understanding of what he has for us today in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. Be seated. Be seated. You are all welcome again, especially the latecomers. It's okay, we understand. Many of you come from very far places. But nothing could stop you from coming here. Nothing will stop your blessings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have a duty. We have a duty to teach. That is where my duty ends. That is what the duty of every minister ends, is to teach. And what you do with what we teach has nothing to do with me. It is to do with you. And whether you respond or you don't respond, I will not account for the way you responded. I will only account for how I taught it. Because my friend one time told me, when some people left this church and they are doing nothing that resembled the fact that they were here before. And he told me that he himself too is a minister. And that he believed that it simply means we did not work enough on them. And I almost agree with him. But when I search myself, I say, I better try my best now. Why are others getting it and some not getting it? Which extra work did I do on those who caught it? It's the same setting, the same things they had. But always remember that when we gather like this, we're a mixed multitude. That is the truth. We are a mixed multitude. If we read Jude, verse 3 and verse 4, I have to make this comment for you to understand the importance of what we are doing here.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
So what are we to contend for? We are to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto us. That is the burden, I believe, that is in the heart of Pastor Elvis. Amen. the Pauline disciple. Because there are people that want to make it look as if we are not achieving anything in this ministry. And thank God there is Facebook to let us know, everybody. There are people sitting down here, from what we see, you post in your Facebook pages and your social media accounts, we know that you are still far from what we are doing here. You don't believe what we are doing here. If you remove your earring and remove your trouser and remove the paint and come and sit down here as a sister, so that you will look like us, all you will think is that in this hall here, they don't enter here with earring. They don't enter this hall with a painted face. You have not understood. That is our own way of telling you this is how Christians are supposed to dress. And you are not a Christian only in the church. Wherever you are supposed to be a Christian. Whatever, however you appear, is a reflection of the revelation of the Christian faith that you have. When you see Elvis Smart talking about a prophet cannot pastor a church, he is not a prophet. He is not a prophet. So some people will think you are doing politics. You are trying to stop prophets from answering their call so that they will be under you, a pastor. No, it will never stop us from preaching what is in the scripture. Hallelujah. It will never stop us. What we are saying is it the truth? Is it in the scriptures? Hallelujah. What did happen? Some distractions there. Praise the Lord. Okay, maybe some people are celebrating across the street. So don't be distracted, and God will help us. Praise the Lord. So all we're trying to do is to let you know what we believe. Is to let you know what the scripture says, for we are a restoration ministry. But no matter what we say, there are people that only see Jesus Christ and ministry work as a meal ticket. And no matter what you say, no matter what you say, no matter what we preach here, you are wasting your time. Some of them are even ministers. All they are interested in is to hold the microphone. All they are interested in is opportunity to come here and advertise themselves so that they will have customers, so that they will be known. They are the ones, if they are prophets, merely you come to them, the first thing they will tell you is you need family deliverance. We have to travel to your hometown. It's nothing. It is the money he will get from the transport you will give him. You give him flight ticket, he will take night bus. Because it's an enterprise. Praise the Lord. And we see many of them have passed through this ministry. If he's a deliverance minister, during deliverance, he's going to collect the phone number of the person he's doing deliverance. So that he will call and say, I saw this revelation, your shop needs to be consecrated. I need to come and do 2-night vigil. We need to go to the mountain to pray for you. And there is nothing you can do to stop it. Because no matter how we preach, there are people that are also ordained to be deceived. They are also ordained to be defrauded. If not, how can you come to this church and ever give shishi to anybody to pray for you? And you have the phone number of the pastor. Konima died, Konima burial. You also, you came here not for salvation. You came here for deliverance. So they know you. So you too, you don't want the pastor to know. So you too sneak with them and go to your village. And so Konima died, Konima burial. Then later on, they are coming to tell you, I took this person to the village. I took this person so time. It didn't work, pastor. I need prayer. Oh, now your head come down. Who told you that our God travels before he answers us? Yes, sir. But they are fulfilling Romans 16, verse 17 and verse 18. Now, everything you see in the church is in the Bible.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple.
What are they serving?
Their own belly.
It's their own belly. Nothing more. Hallelujah. We are people that have stood with us here. They had us, some of them spent 10 years, 20 years here in this church. And I saw in the Facebook recently, yesterday actually, I saw one that left here. He's going to for a program, and the host of the church is a pastor, Mrs. He is going to be hosted by Pastor Mrs. Another prophetess too that left here. I saw yesterday also somewhere at Bokno. Another Pastor Mrs. has a program and her picture is in the poster as a prophetess going to minister there. And they were here for years. What Satan is ordaining them to achieve is to create the impression to the whole world that we are not teaching you anything here. But it's a lie. Everybody will go the way it's written of him. The love of God is the root of all evil. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, 19, hear what Apostle Paul says.
Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so, as ye have us for an example.
Again.
Brethren, be followers together of me.
I wish Chile can get somebody who can show us these scriptures on the screen so that we all flow together. I quote Philippians chapter 3, verse 17 to 21.
Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which
walk. Who is the person talking?
Paul. Apostle Paul.
Who is talking?
Apostle Paul.
So, and this is all that this Pauline disciple, Elvis, is trying to achieve. Read it.
Brethren, be followers together of me.
And do what?
And mark them which walk so, as he have us for an example.
So, Paul has become the standard for ministry. So, if you want to know who is doing it correctly or rightly, watch the way Apostle Paul taught us. Read on.
For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ.
You are the enemy of the cross because salvation was offered to us freely. Grace is free. Freely we give, freely you receive, freely you give. Why are you making people, directly or indirectly, pay for using your gift? Go on.
Verse 19. Whose end is destruction?
The end of such people is destruction.
Whose God is their belly?
Because the God they serve is their belly.
Whose glory is in their shame?
And it is a shame. It's a shameful thing that a man or a woman with a gift will serve God that way.
Who mind earthly things?
Because all the mind, they are not heaven bound. They are always just earthly things.
For our conversation is in heaven.
Because that is where our focus is. From where your treasure is, there your heart will be.
From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.
And he will soon come. And he will soon come.
Amen.
Why not say amen? You are enjoying Nigeria, Abby? I say he will soon come.
Amen.
I'm comforting you now. I say he will soon come.
Amen.
When Jayola said this week you get million, the amen was different from this. That was very comforting prophecy. But there's a better comfort than 1 million can give you. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will soon come. I say he will soon come. And may he come soonest in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And all that we are interested here, listen. We speak about the divine agenda. And if you don't mind, please. There was a young man that asked Elvis question last Sunday. Are you here? You asked about that you two, you are a follower of the minister of William Branham. Are you here today? And you came here for the first time. Where are you? Okay, you are the one. Okay, I'll just pause a little bit and just, I was watching you online because I was on a program somewhere. What was your question?
The pastor, he thought, and when he was teaching, he made mention of how that there is a progressiveness of revelation, and how he mentioned how that William Branham is not the angel to the seventh church age. So I got confused at some point. So I asked him to lay more explanation to that statement.
Okay, and you say you yourself, you are Abrahamite? Me too, I'm Abrahamite. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are. Why are you not singing it? It's our anthem. Who's the original? Just by way of knowledge. Which church did you come from?
I came from Bright Assembly Church, Eastern Gate Bright Church, Omoa.
Eh?
Eastern Gate Bright Church, Omoa here.
Pastor Thomas?
Yes, sir.
Pastor Thomas was the associate pastor here. Did you get the message through that ministry?
I actually saw on TV for the first time. I saw Bright Assembly Lagos on TV. The first time I ever saw heard about the message.
Okay, so it's through this ministry.
Yes, it's through this ministry.
I heard somebody was
around. So.
Okay. Now, if you will ask this question, it simply means Pastor Thomas is not following us. And maybe he doesn't believe too. Praise the Lord. There is a progressiveness of revelation. Hallelujah. And we have been teaching it. So not to take the time of the people. When you close, please, come and meet this teacher. Olumide. Do you know him?
No, sir.
You don't know him?
No, sir.
Ask any member here to take you. Amen. It's like, before you see the pastor, you go through him.
Okay, sir.
He's the mediator between every visitor and the pastor. Just ask for the pastor's PA. He's also a teacher. So that we don't waste too much time on that. And the last stage, that is where we are going. You see, with the progressiveness of revelation, let us know that the age that we are in now is the age for the formation of the fruit.
Hallelujah.
That was planted at Pentecost.
Yes.
that died at Nicaea, fulfilling Matthew 13:33. The three measures of men, the three works of grace, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that came up through the shout ministry or the midnight cry. And there are four stages as the world is being restored. And as we saw it, the stage that we are in is the stage where the fruit will be formed. And as soon as the fruit forms, then the rapture takes place, according to the parable that we see in Mark chapter 4 from verse 26 to 29. And so, what is it? God used that man, William Branham, like he used three other people before him. Justification was by Luther, sanctification by John Wesley, and the restoration of the gifts. These are the three that were destroyed. Was by William Seymour in Azusa Street in 1906. Now, but after that, there is still remaining a ministry. Because there are a lot of things to be put together to give the proper picture of what the apostolic church was. And God raised up another man by the name of William Branham. Amen. And told us to come back to the Bible.
Hallelujah.
Amen. And break every barrier. Amen. That is what gave rise to that song. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died. And hallelujah. But like it is everywhere, the devil has messed it up. But there is the restoration ministry. The restoration ministry continues under the Black Horse Rider of Revelation chapter 6. This is what we are part of. That revival, the oil and the wine, is the restoration ministry. And it will continue until we go in the rapture. We are in the last stage. And that is the ministry for perfection. And the ministry of perfection is not a man. It is a ministry. And it is Ephesians 4:11. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some
evangelists,
and some
pastors,
and some teachers. For what?
For the perfecting of the saints.
For what?
For the work of the ministry.
For what?
For the edifying of the body of Christ.
Now the perfecting ministry is what is going on now. Amen. And it will not be promoting any man. And these five ministry will be identified by what they are doing. So how do you know? Watch their doctrines. Watch their setting. When you begin to see a church that resembles that one that is in the Acts of Apostles, in power, in doctrine, in everything, hallelujah, then look up. Your redemption is near. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And remember that it comes with a grace. There's a grace for that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The Bible says, be ye perfect. Even as your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. Like Apostle Paul, my little children, of whom I travel in birth again. Until when?
Until Christ be formed in you.
That is my passion. That is my passion. Why must Christ be formed in you? Because it is our destiny. The destiny of every believer is to be conformed to the image of Christ. Don't say you are a Christian until you can look at yourself and look at Christ and see that I and my Savior, we are one. It's not confession. It is a life that you live. For a long time, even in this ministry, this has been the problem. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3.
Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits.
So every time baptized in the name of Jesus, woman, no wear trousers. Woman, no preach. Revelation 10, 7. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Not Trinity. Denomination. Antichrist. This one. Fine. Every time, water baptism. Every time, water baptism. Every time, holiness. Every time, Apostle Paul says, let us go on to perfection. Let's move forward. I was in a church for 5 years. I was just a member from 1990 to 1995. Every time we come, it's the same sermon. Woman, don't wear high issue. Don't wear cross no gutter. Don't wear tight skirt. Don't wear this one. They will describe. Don't show your back. Don't show your armpit. Don't do this one. Don't palm your hair. Don't do this one. Every time, one day I went to meet the pastor. I said, sir, all our sisters here, nobody they palm hair. Nobody they wear trouser. Nobody they wear high heel. I said, sir, they have dropped all this. Sir, what next? What next? You have encompassed this Kadesh Barnea. You have encompassed this mountain so long. Turn. No, it's not west. Olumide. Jagaban. It's not west. What did he say we should turn? It's not east. He said we should turn where? Not west. Listen to this man from the north. Praise the Lord. That's what they write down there. Turn northwards. Hallelujah. There is something good coming from there. Let's clap our hands for our God now. I want to continue with the thought, therefore, that the last time I spoke here about the mystery of the Gentile salvation. It's a mystery. But today, it's along that thought, but I want to give it a different focus under the title, Living by Grace, Not by Law. Living by grace, not by law. I remember that John chapter 1 and verse 17. John chapter 1 and verse 17.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
Again.
For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ.
And what is the law? We all know. I will try to compress it because I'm anxious to give a picture of what I have in my mind. We know whether it is law or grace, both law and grace was given to man to serve God acceptably by man. That is the purpose of the law. To enable man know how to serve God. That is the purpose of grace. To enable man know how to serve God. Now, but law was changed to grace. Why was this changed? Because it is necessary for us to see the effect of the law. The inadequacies of the law. And one area that Christ began to let us understand it is the story of the Good Samaritan, which we all know. In Luke chapter 10, and if you read it, just for reference, from verse 30 and to verse 37. That man that was traveling to Jericho from Jerusalem. It is the story of man that left where God kept you. What reduced us to where we are today. And we lost fellowship with God. And Satan buffeted us to be where we are today. I've been stressing this. Jesus Christ used this parable to make us understand. First, it was the priest that passed by. He couldn't help that man. The Levite passed by. He couldn't help that man until the Good Samaritan came. That priest and the Levite is talking about the law. The law was guided by the Levitical priesthood. Right. Under the high priest. But it could not help man. It could not help man to serve God. It could not help man to relate back to God acceptably. So it had no effect. And this is how Paul captured it in Romans chapter 7 from verse 7. Please, let's read it on up to verse 24 if we can.
What shall we say then?
Yes.
Is the law sin?
Listen very well.
God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law.
See, I'll be breaking it for emphasis. We as human beings, Apostle Paul was of the law too. So he could express it better. There is no offense until there is a law. Correct? There is no offense until there is a law. And so man, God could not punish any man. Man too could not know that he was wrong in whatever lifestyle he was living. So the law then came. Before, you used to fornicate. Anyhow, you see any woman, you just go sleep with them. But the law came and spoke against fornication, against adultery. Anybody you didn't like could just go and kill him. And nothing will happen to you. So, the law now came to let you know if you kill, it becomes sin. So let's read on.
For I had not known sin but by the law.
It is the law that made us to know what is sin.
For I had not known lust, except the law had said, thou shalt not covet.
You see, before I didn't know that I can collect anything. Pack J. Sigmund, pack Sergivity, pack carry anything I see, pack everything. Covetousness. Until the law says you must not lust. Must not covet your neighbor's property. Go on.
But sin, taking occasion by the commandments, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead.
So, sin was not there at all until the law came up. Go on.
For I was alive without the law once.
I was alive because I was living my thing. Nothing, nobody can stop me. If I like, I enter anywhere, go collect your wife, carry, go, kill you, carry your wife, go. No problem at all. I was alive without the law once.
But when the commandment came,
what happened?
Sin revived.
What happened?
And I died.
That sentence was hanging on us. Uh-huh.
And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto
death. But the commandment is supposed to make us have relationship with God now. Now, it is bringing death to me. Something that is supposed to bring life to enable us serve God very well. And now, we that didn't know God before, we now have covenant with God. Now, it's making us to die. What happened?
For sin, taking occasion by the commandments, deceived me and by it slew me.
Well,
wherefore the law is holy.
The law is holy.
And the commandment
is also holy.
And just and good.
Uh-huh.
Was then that which is good made death unto me?
Now, did God decide that I should die by giving that thing that is good? Go on.
God forbid.
Uh-huh.
But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good,
uh-huh,
that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful.
So that you will know through that commandment what is good and what is bad. Uh-huh.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
Uh-huh.
For that which I do, I allow not.
Uh-huh.
For what I would, that do I not.
Uh-huh.
But what I hate, that do I.
That is the nature of a man, every natural human being. And now, especially after you have now known what is right and what is wrong before God, every time you will still find yourself, you know this thing you are doing is bad. But there is something inside of you. That is the two laws. You know that this thing I'm doing is bad. What made you to know it is bad? It is the law that made you to know that it is bad. Yet it keeps pushing you into it. Go on.
If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Again.
Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
So what is guilty? It is that nature that is in you that is pushing you to do it so that you'll understand God's mercy. God goes beyond the action you did. He's looking at what pushed you to do it. And what pushed you to do it, you can't help it. It is your nature. There is nothing you can do. That is what Satan wanted to achieve in the Garden of Eden. He comes and anoints it. That is why when he came, oh glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to understand mercy. So that, let's read on. Let's finish.
Verse 18.
Yes.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing.
Nothing good there.
For to will is present, uh-huh, with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not.
Uh-huh.
For the good that I would, I do not.
Uh-huh.
But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in
you
me.
You see?
I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present.
I want
with
to
me.
Do something. Something else be going on. Go ahead.
For I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
You delight in it, oh. You want to serve God, oh.
But I see another law in my members,
yes,
warring against the law of my mind,
uh-huh,
and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members.
Therefore, verse 24.
Oh, wretched man that I am.
That is the condition of man.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
So, you see, man needed deliverance.
I thank God through Christ.
No, I didn't say, I said to verse 24. I said man needed deliverance. That is my emphasis. In Romans chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, and verse 4, concerning all the ordinances and the way to approach God in the Old Testament.
For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins.
What do you mean by take away sin? The nature of sin, the thing that pushes you to walk against the law of God, the blood of an animal is not capable of dealing with it. And remember, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The law came by a covenant. It is a will of God. Let's get something. It came by a covenant. A covenant is a will. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to squeeze. I don't want to go too far. The message of comparing grace and law can take me a whole 4 weeks. It's so interestingly deep. and very excitingly deep, so that you will appreciate the grace. Law came under the first covenant. In Hebrews chapter 8, reading from verse 7.
For if that first covenant had been faultless,
read it up to verse 13.
Then should no place have been sought for the second.
It was shrewd with fault, because it was sealed with the blood of animal. And the blood of an animal cannot affect the sinner. Change the sinner. Read on, please.
For finding fault with them is yet, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. Because they continued not in my covenant. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
Yes.
And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me from the least to the greatest. But I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In that is yet a new covenant. He had made the first old.
He has made the first covenant old.
Now, that which decayeth and waxeth old is ready to vanish away.
That is the law. It must go. Because it didn't have any effect. Now read that verse 7 again.
But if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second.
Now, listen. This is where it gets very interesting. Our God, whatever he makes it perfect. How come now he made a covenant that was not perfect? Amen. Therefore, the law was not given. God knew that he was giving the law not because he expected Israel to keep it. He knew they cannot keep it. In Romans chapter 3, let's read it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. From verse 19 and verse 20. Romans chapter 3. This is the purpose of the law. Purpose of the law.
Now we know that what whatsoever the law saith, he said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God.
Again.
Now we know that whatsoever the law saith, he said to them who are under the law. That every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty
so
before
that
God.
You say you are up. Finish the next verse.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Verse 20 again.
Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin.
So, the law was only given to you to have a knowledge of sin. We are Abraham's children. We are special people. All these Gentiles, they are dogs. They are these. They are no human beings. They are not these. And God wants to look at them and say, are you better than them? So that you too, you will know. You too, as they are condemned, you too, you can also be condemned. Then he gave them the law. So the law was given to Israel so that they too can also be condemned like the Gentiles were condemned. The whole world. Therefore, he can say, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And people don't understand this grace thing we talk about. Listen very well. Olumide, teachers, listen to me. Grace did not start with the birth of Jesus Christ. Grace started, hallelujah, from the day of Pentecost. The covenant that God had with man was established only after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, when Jesus Christ was alive, he was under the law. I don't know whether somebody is understanding. He was a Jew under the law. And he demonstrated it. The Syrophoenician woman came to him. He said, salvation is of the Jews. It's not proper that we give the children's meat to dogs. He came and demonstrated. Hallelujah. Listen, Jesus Christ, listen very well. Every opportunity he had, he let the people know, amen, that you people, you here, listen, all of you are condemned. You, the Jews, all of you are condemned. So that they will really, really know who they are and appreciate him. When he said, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Except you believe that I am he, you will surely die. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because Apostle Paul told us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 16. Let's read it up to verse 20 something or so.
For where a testament is,
listen very well,
there must also of necessity be the death of the testator.
Listen, lawyers, this is lawyers that know the meaning of that verse. Where the testament, verse 16.
For where a testament is.
What is a testament? It's a will. If when I die, this will happen. Hallelujah. This will happen. Give this property to this. As long as it's alive, that will is not yet effective. Verse 17.
For a testament is of force after men are dead.
That it becomes effective only after the man is dead.
Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth.
Go ahead.
Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood.
Uh-huh.
For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood.
Verse 20 again.
Saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you.
But concerning Christ, while he was alive, the blood was not yet given. Praise the Lord. But while he was under the law, it will be surprised that he who came to fulfill the law, for Christ is the end of righteousness. It's the end of the law for righteousness. Every law for righteousness, Christ is the end. But it will only be effective after he is dead. That is why Christ, to make them appreciate him, he said, he began to give them even tougher law than Moses gave them. Concerning adultery, the law says what? Until there is evidence, even two or three witnesses must witness, and they must catch you physically in the act before you can be guilty of adultery. But Jesus said, if you look upon a woman and lust after her in your heart. Hey, so which one is tougher? He said, you're already guilty before God of adultery. He said, if you hate your brother without a cause, he said, you are guilty of murder. If you look at your brother and say, Uwaka, Ubanka, Shege, he said, you are already guilty. You don't have to carry your hand and strike him physically. He will say, so that you will know, all this one, no man can keep it. If they slap you one side, turn another cheek, then they slap you. He knows nobody. All of you that want to say, what did the Bible say? Say, Bible say, slap me one side. He said, turn the other side and slap. that is for those under the law. We are not under the law. It was given to them so that they will know that you cannot, a carnal man can never withstand a second slap. He said, if somebody borrow your clothes and run away, doesn't return it. If he come for the second one that is even higher than that one, he said, don't stop, give it to him. No human being can do it. Olumide, you cannot do it. To answer me, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. He said, bless your enemy. Don't curse you. It's not, don't. Somebody will know one kill me, say bless him. If he's hungry, give him food to eat. Praise the Lord. And at that time, they were allowed to marry many wives. But he came and said, in the beginning it was not so. It's one man, one wife. A rich young ruler came and said, Master, what shall I do to have eternal life? See what he gave him. Go and sell all you have and give it to the poor and follow me. He knows now. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. He knows. Then the proverbial saying in Israel, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The disciples say, then who can make it? And what did Jesus say? With man, it is impossible. But when grace comes, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. See, Jesus even made it tougher. He made it again even tougher in the Beatitude. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 48.
Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
Eh? Again.
Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect.
How about Jesus? How can a human being be as perfect as God? And yet it is a commandment. So Jesus came and made the law tougher. And so verse 25, Romans chapter 7. If this is the condition of man, see how miserable we are.
Oh, wretched man that I am.
Oh, wretched man that I am.
Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
Uh-huh.
I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Oh, glory be to God.
So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God.
Uh-huh.
But with the flesh, the law of sin.
Praise the Lord. Who will deliver us? That is when we now understand where Jesus Christ comes in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, if you read, amen. Romans chapter 10, if you read it for reference, from verse 1 to verse 8, you are seeing there that Christ becomes the end of the law for righteousness. And that is where grace comes in. For we are saved, we, you and I today, according to the Bible, we are saved by grace and not by works of the law. So what is grace? The definition is simple. What is grace? Grace is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This glory is not just rapture. Because in Romans chapter 8 and verse 30, listen to the process of the law.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called.
Uh-huh.
And whom he called.
Those that is, come to me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Uh-huh.
And whom he called, them he also justified.
Those that he called, he will justify you by wiping away all your sins.
And whom he justified, them he also glorified.
And how does he glorify you? By bringing Christ to dwell inside of you. By giving you the power to become the sons of God. And that is the power of conversion. And this conversion takes you through the process we see in Ezekiel 36 and verse 24 to verse 29. This is the process.
For I will take you from among the Eden.
Yes.
And gather you out of all countries.
Under grace now.
And will bring you into your own land.
This is where we shall see grace.
Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. And ye shall be clean.
Ezekiel 36, we are reading from verse 24. Go on.
From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And
you see the process? It works in your heart. Hallelujah. Takes away that stony heart. Gives you a heart of flesh. That is the conversion. Come to me when you answer all that call. This is what must take place inside of you. All these judges say after me. It's not say after me. There's a process that you will go through. What happens? Go on.
And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them.
Now, so it is when he now, after giving you a new spirit, he then puts his own Holy Ghost and then does what? Causes you to keep those laws that you were not able to keep under the former covenant. That is the glorification. The process where you can now come and have fellowship with God is a process of God by himself that takes a sinner, begin to rearrange his being, comes inside, remove all that nonsense that pushes you to do the things you do that keep you away from God, that the law could not achieve. He comes by himself to achieve it through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is the meaning of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now this is where I am going. For the few minutes I have left, I hope I can go far. Praise the Lord. Now listen, the whole process of grace begins with revelation. Revelation of what? Revelation of two things. Revelation of the fact that this world, God has condemned this world. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the soul that sinners shall die. And I have looked at myself. I am already a dead man by the life I'm living. The death there is eternal separation from God. Hell fire. Except you have a revelation that this is not how God created man and wanted human beings to relate with him. Something happened that is making man to worship the creature more than the creator, that made man to say there is no God, that made man to be living like animals, killing one another, that made us to look as if we came from nowhere, and yet there is a creator that created us, and that he is in the process of wiping the whole earth. He wiped it one time to let us know that he's the Lord. He changed it not. This time he will wipe it away. You need that revelation for you to know, how will I escape? The revelation of how you will escape, if you first and foremost hear the message of the cross. You have to, the Bible speak about godly sorrow that worketh repentance. What is it that will bring sorrow to your heart? and make you walk repentance. What you want to repent, there is a danger that is coming. Apostle Paul mentioned the rot that is to come. There is a rot that is to come. That is the first revelation we must have. And not too many people in the world, including people who go to church, actually know the seriousness of this agenda of God to wipe away all ungodliness and start a new generation to live on this earth. Not too many people know it. Not too many people know it. By the life we live, many of us are Christians just by religion. And because it is by religion, we are not submitting ourselves for grace to have effect in our lives. And so many of us just add Christianity to our old lifestyle. It's only an addition. It's not a substitution. And so many of us are looking up to the cross, but yet to benefit from what happened on the cross. And this is the passion I have, because I know nobody will believe my message unless he agrees and believes that judgment is coming. All will be there. Each one receives justly
finding the saving.
Sinless
and blood.
This revelation will be the beginning of your conversion. If you say you are converted without this revelation, you are not converted anything. You only had a story. You only had a story of how good Jesus is. It's better than the shrine in the village. If I go to church, I'll shout blood of Jesus, I'll be saved. So where did they go? They are the ones that every church in our church. Church in our church. They are the ones that to go to church is very difficult. For prayer meeting is very difficult. The reason is because you have not understood what Christianity is all about. Not only, now you have to understand before you submit yourself to it. I want to prove to you also, like I did the last time I preached here. Listen, hallelujah. There are many of us, hallelujah, we are Christians, but we are still operating under the law. And if you are still under the law, then you will not enjoy grace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So it starts with revelation of the rot to come. Then it will make you, your heart will be pricked. It is then you can say, men and brethren, what shall we do? It is only when you are convinced that you deserve to die, you are convinced that this life I am living will end up in hellfire. You must be convinced. When you are convinced, it is then you will be convicted. You deserve to die by the life you live. That is the conviction. Then you will be concerned for your life. So what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It is then Jesus will be presented to you. For Jesus is the way out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish with the wrath to come, but have everlasting life. And Jesus can now ask you, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Except you believe that I am here, you are finished. You will die in your sins. That revelation will lead you to the next point. That revelation then takes you, hallelujah. I don't know how I call it, but it is the strength of grace. It's love. It is love. Listen, the only reason, hallelujah, hallelujah, when you come to Christ and you will serve him acceptably is because you love him. The songwriter says, I love him because he first loved me. It's a revelation. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. He loved me. I cannot tell why. Such love, such wondrous love, that God should save a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this? When you catch what he did on the cross, and you ever catch the revelation that he did it to save me. Hey, Jesus Christ went to the cross, not for himself. It's a revelation. It's a revelation, brethren. The day you catch that revelation, hallelujah, you will no longer, hey, oh, nobody will carry a stick and be pursuing you. Don't steal, don't kill, don't do this, don't do that. You cannot hurt somebody like that who loved you until he saved you and gave you eternal life. How can I offend him? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And that is why Jesus Christ made this statement in Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. Read it from verse 34.
But when the Pharisees had heard,
listen,
that he put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together.
Yes.
Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, Master, which is the great commandment in the law?
That is, see, the law, plenty, 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 plenty commandments. So many, until you have to be carrying them in your pocket, in your bag, anywhere you are going. He said, among them, which is the most important one? What did he say?
Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment.
Thou shalt love the Lord with all
thy heart.
With some of your heart.
All thy heart.
All thy soul. Some of your soul. Some of your mind. But go on the next verse.
This is the first and great commandment.
It is the first and the greatest commandment, is the love of God with everything you have. Verse 39.
And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
That is the next greatest commandment. On these two commandments hang all the law
and the prophets.
That is why the symbol of our faith is the cross. Vertical relationship with the Father and horizontal relationship with the brethren. That is what the cross symbolizes. They didn't know they were doing a prophetic action. They were preaching the gospel of love. For it is love that sent him there to the cross. It's an emblem of suffering and shame. But it is the identity of the believers, of the beneficiaries of grace. The basis, the strength for grace is love. I don't know how much I can put it better than that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Even heaven is saying amen. Even heaven is saying amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, Pastor Olumide was preaching the last Sunday, and he mentioned something about the cost of following Jesus. the cost of following Jesus. Listen very well. Hallelujah. And when I met him, I was telling him, I said that you were saying something that I had in mind to also stress here today. That the cost of following Jesus. Listen very well. Listen very well. Hallelujah. And I told Olumide when I came, Olumide, you were preaching me. Because you studied me. And then you started mentioning all my weaknesses at the pulpit. And then you were saying that I am not a disciple. And he was laughing. But listen. Listen very well. This is the cost of grace. Grace has cost. What is the cost? Listen. What did he say? He said, come to me. It begins with, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Listen. Come to me. Is everybody hearing me? Is everybody hearing me? Because rain is falling here. Come to me. Eh? If you hear Rita, come to me. Come now. Now, this is all it will cost you. Standing up there and coming is the only cost. Don't know whether I can explain this. Hallelujah. But when he said come, there was something that happened. I noticed that in coming, you did not pick your Bible. You did not pick your chair. You did not pick your notebook. Even the note your boyfriend sent to you. You said, sir, here. You didn't pick it. Hallelujah. You didn't pick it. That is the cost. Forsaking all. Forsaking all. If you will answer that call, don't carry anything. It is your body, your soul, your spirit, all. That is the first sacrifice of grace. It looks easy, but it's so difficult for man to achieve. Come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Praise the Lord. So, what is the first cost? Is to sacrifice your life. Sacrifice your life. Offer it totally, completely, completely, completely. Forsake everything you have. The disciples say, Master, we are forsaking all and follow you. What will be our reward? If you look at the story of the reformers, Luther, is in verse 44 of Matthew chapter 13. He fulfilled that parable there.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof, goeth and selleth all that he hath.
All that he had to do what?
And buyeth that field.
And that is all that he had. His reputation in the Catholic system, his position in the Catholic system, his doctrines that he believed before. He sacrificed them. The same thing, verse 45.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like
Wesley, the story of Wesley fulfilled this.
It's like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price.
When he found that price there, price is not P-R-I-Z-E as an award. Price is cost. That is holiness, without which you cannot see God. And what is holiness? Is the process of washing yourself of all worldliness. And it is not man-made. It is done by God himself. You have to take note of that. Apostle Paul says that all that he achieved, all his certificates, all that he achieved, what did he do? He counted them as what? Dung. He threw all of them away. And the early disciples were ready to die. They offered, they loved not their life, even unto the death. It was complete, total, total, total offer of yourself. Praise the Lord. When he said, pick up your cross and follow me. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23 to 26.
And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.
You are to take up your cross how many times?
Daily.
How many times?
Daily.
Sometimes?
Daily.
Daily. What does it mean to take up the cross? Daily. 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 Hallelujah. It's not suffering daily. I want to clarify that. It's not suffering daily. There is no suffering like that. I will explain it when we come back next time. Can we stand up? I will explain it when we come back next time. What does it mean? Then you'll understand why Apostle Paul said, I die daily. And by the time I finish, you will soon discover that Christianity is very easy. It's very simple. It will be difficult if you live by law, not by grace. We are to live by grace, not by law. If you live by law, Christianity will be difficult for you. But if you live by grace, you will soon discover Christianity is very, very simple. Something happens in you that you don't struggle against sin, and you are not the one walking it. You are not the one walking it. Hallelujah. If a holy God dwells in you, you will become holy. You can never be holy. Listen, what makes you holy is not the cloth that you wear. What makes you holy is not the lipstick that you remove, sister. What makes you holy is not the lies that you no longer tell lies. What makes you holy is not that you don't fornicate. What makes you holy is that thing that God has put inside of you. If it is not there, you are living by the law. That is what I want to take my time and establish it in the heart of the people, so that you will truly answer that call. Come. This come is not with leg. It's not with leg. This come, hallelujah, is a sacrificial lifestyle. You sacrifice the whole of your body, soul, and spirit unto him, until even though he will slay me, yet I will trust him. Wherever he leads me, I will follow. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't want to rush it. I want you to take time and listen to it. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Can we sing it? 206 or so. 205. 205. That's our prayer. That's the only way to achieve it. That's the only way to achieve it.
Near the cross. Oh,
In the name of Jesus, what we aim to achieve in this ministry is for Christ to be formed in us all. We will have a sweeter fellowship. It will be more difficult for this test that I've not come for salvation, but I've come to steal our liberty. That come to cause confusion. That come and destroy the faith of the people. It will be more difficult for them to operate. Because the truth is this. If I love you, it will be difficult for somebody to turn my heart against you. That's the truth. Nothing will stop them, or no matter what I say, nothing, until we go in the rapture, they will be in the fellowship. They move from church to church. When you drive them away, there are some gifted people that left and they left because we chased them out. They could not operate. In fact, one of them we didn't even chase out. She just found that she could not operate here. She went and opened church. And all she does is to be phoning members and giving you prophecy, telling you to get out of Bride Assembly. He couldn't operate it while she was here. But now that she's outside, at least she can call you. They have your number. There's another one that specializes in calling people's wives. Calling personality. Oh, members of this church. They will only succeed because you are also as carnal as them. The day you allow the Spirit of Christ to richly dwell in you, then I will tell you how you can achieve it. That's the whole thing. And it is very simple. It is very easy. I didn't struggle to stop chasing women. I didn't struggle. I didn't struggle to stop drinking alcohol. I didn't struggle. I didn't even pray over it. I just realized the taste was dead. Since that day, I had an experience. It's just, if I lie, I keep condemning myself. If you come to ask me for an assistance and I have it and I refuse to give you, I will not be able to sleep. Something will be telling you, but you have it. But you have it. But you have it. I didn't work it out. It is automatic if that work is done in you. There is therefore nothing to boast about it. Because it's not by my effort. How it happened, I don't understand. All I did was, I came. I offered myself. And I meant it. I was sincere. Not because I wanted, because I lost my job. I know if I come, they will give me a job. That was not the reason. That was not the reason. I fell in love with him. When I realized, if I had died without him, where would I have been? For 6 months, I can never forget it. 1989. Anytime I remember it, I've been falling. I mean, tears will be coming out of my eyes. You mean, God, you were bearing with me all this useless life I lived. And you were there looking at me. I was doing all the nonsense without you. Even Babalawo, I no go. This one, I no belong to a cult. I was firewood on the street. And you still protected me. And I looked back at instances where I should have died, where I should have run mad, where something horrible would have happened. And I still saw his hand there. That is why I believe predestination. I believe in the book of life. I believe that I am not saved by accident. No, I am in the plan of God. How can I know that and live anyhow life? How can I know that and just be a religious person? That is what I want to prove to you. I am a true witness of conversion. And I want to tell you that it is not by dry fasting. No. It's as simple as standing up from your seat. Though it is simple, it is not going to be easy. For those who have not yet caught the revelation. It is revelation. Hallelujah. He said, godly sorrow. It's something that will make you feel sorrowful now. That worketh repentance. Some people go for water baptism so that they will receive deliverance. Not for their sins to be remitted. Not because they are looking for a relationship with God. Come next Sunday and listen to how to be saved. Come and examine yourself. if you be in the faith. Stop joking with the eternal destination. There's a reason why God made you to know this ministry. It is a ministry for perfection. Submit yourself and be perfected. Be ye perfect, even as our Heavenly Father is perfect. But the perfection work is done by Him. That is the guarantee we have. Oh, blessed assurance.
Hey. Jesus is mine.
Oh. Determines how you give your offering. It's a reflection of your conversion. Don't know the meaning of offering. It's revelation. Line by line, faith, faith, each earthly joy. Jesus is mine. Line by line.
Jesus,
break every tender tie.